Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Dean. I'm the dad.
I'm Laura. I'm the mom.
And I'm Crystalyn. I'm the daughter.
And together we are
Family Plot.
And this works a lot better when I have my microphone.
Yeah, no, mom's microphone was like turned to the back. She wasn't trying to talk. She was trying to get her ponytails to talk for her.
That's right.
Weird. Well, let's get into the housekeeping part of the shoe. Welcome back once again.
Something smelled.
Mama!
Welcome back once again to the show that never ends. Something, something, come inside, as
no.
The Kinks once said.
No.
Please don't.
No.
Anyway, so if you would like to help us out, several ways you can do that. First and foremost, there's Patreon, where you can do $1, $3, $5, or $10 monthly donations. Each come with kind of a perk for the donation you do. It's a monthly thing. There's also three teams you can be on. Team Bunny, Team Spa Day, Team Podcast. Really doesn't matter. All the money goes the same place.
Feeding this rabbit.
If you can't afford to do a monthly donation, we certainly appreciate that and understand. You could always do a one-time donation through Buy Me a Coffee, any amount. I believe it has to be a whole dollar amount, though. So if you want to give us $1.67, I don't think that'll work, but a dollar or $2, whatever, is fine. And if you cannot afford to support us in any way, we also, again, certainly understand that. So if you enjoy the show, what we say is please share it on social media. Yeah.
Media.
I'm not having a good day. But I guess I'm having a better day than the person that took 2 minutes to turn her headphones around. So you're right.
I thought you were going to start talking about it.
We've got to remind everyone. Do share it on social media if you like it, but if you don't like it,
keep it to yourself. So, to the show. Tonight, we travel off the coast of Japan to discover the Dragon Triangle. Like the Bermuda Triangle, which it is almost exactly opposite on the other side of the world, at least according to some sources, ships and planes disappear mysteriously. So tonight, we take a deep dive, pun certainly intended, into the Dragon Triangle.
But first...
Yes, first... Krista has facts.
I do.
Krista.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Fact Corner. It is me, your host, Crystalline. I am here.
And we're so glad you're here, by the way. We appreciate you, Crystalline.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So today, instead of a triangle, because we already have enough of that in this episode, today we have facts about diamond shapes.
Okay.
Shapes.
Because it's half of a triangle.
Fair enough. Or,
yeah. Or well, it's a triangle times two, yeah. Right?
It's a double triangle.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But I guess it really depends on which way you put it.
And how big the triangle is. Got it.
Yeah. So, what can you teach us about diamond shapes today, Crystalline?
Well, fact number one. These are actual, like, we're talking about, like, diamonds here. We're not talking about just the shape.
Cool.
So, fact number one. Oh, before I talk about that, my bad. Diamond Rocks Co. UK is where I got this from, and the person who I got this from, I don't really know. But, you know, you can just search facts about shapes up, and this is what you get.
Okay, then.
Fact number one. The cut of a diamond is widely considered to be the gem's most important characteristic.
Mm.
As the way it's cut determines the diamond's brilliance and fire.
Very, very cool.
When a diamond is cut, the gem cutter carefully considers which cut will allow the most light to enter the stone. The more light that can enter, the more brilliant, magnificent, and consequently valuable the finished product will be.
That must be a really interesting line of business to get in, you know?
Must be a very nice paying job.
One would assume.
Yeah, one would assume. Also, I don't know, I picture someone like nervously cracking their very first diamond, like they've been through all the study programs and now they've got to do it on their own. And
yeah, right up there with doing like heart surgery. Like it must be very high stress.
High stress, only if you're making it. If you're selling it, not really. Fact number two. There are three main categories of diamond shapes: brilliant cuts, step cuts, and mixed cuts. Brilliant cuts are those that allow for the best light reflection, resulting in a more brilliant gem. Step cuts, such as emerald and baguette diamond?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Feature stacked facets that resemble stairs, and mixed cuts are a combination of brilliant and step cuts.
Cool.
Interesting. Tell me more, Krista.
Nice.
What is this? What was that?
It was like an Igor. I kind of liked that one.
That was not Igor. That was Puss in Boots. The Last Wish.
Actually, it was like old school Renfield.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah,
like kind of Peter Lorre-ish.
It was kind of weird.
Igor, kind of.
Yeah.
Yes, master, kind of thing.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, fact number three. The practice of shaping diamonds is believed to date back to the 13th century, where there is evidence that medieval Islamic gem cutters shaped diamonds into simple cuts. However, diamond cutting as we know it today did not occur until the 16th century, when advancements in equipment allowed European gem cutters to fast the diamonds rather than just polish them.
Mm.
Nifty.
Anything else?
What?
Are you gonna say anything else than just use your creepy, weird, whatever voice that is?
I still kind of like it.
I was commenting on your good work. I'll be quiet from now on. Sheesh. What's next, Krista?
Fact number four. The most popular and enduring diamond cut is the round brilliant, which features multiple facets for enhanced brilliance. This cut was first developed in 1919 and was met with immediate adoration. Since then, gem cutters have relied on mathematical calculations and light behavior theories to make cuts that maximize brilliance
and
fire and bring out each stone's unique qualities.
Mm. That's cool. That's much better than the short round cut, which just tells you, no time for love, Dr. Jones.
Father.
Yes, child?
That voice is worse than Mickey Mouse one that you did.
I've never done Mickey Mouse's voice on this show.
Oh my gosh.
That would be illegal, Krista.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, all right. That's fine. Okay, whatever. The brilliant cut... Oh, fact number five. The brilliant cut diamond is also the most hardy of all diamond cuts. Its round shape lends of its impressive durability, along with making it less likely to chip, crack, or break, as there are no edges or corners to snag or bang.
Wow, that definitely sounds pretty good then. I personally prefer the heart shape or like an oval, me personally, but I have never really had a diamond that was really big enough to see it very well, so I'm not too super worried about it.
Oh, that's kind of depressing, but okay. But that's the end of my facts. Thank you for coming to the Fact Corner today, and I appreciate you being here.
Yay, we appreciate you doing it, Krista. Wait a minute.
Yes, thank you. Yay, Krista.
And there's some claps for the Krista.
Not enough, because she's awesome and deserves all the claps.
All the claps.
So many claps. Ah, Shion, that is my leg, child.
Hi, Paula.
The cats are swarming.
The cats are swarming. They smell chicken.
So, the dragon triangle.
Yes. So, before we dig into the triangle, let's talk about the man who first... called the place cursed. Kublai Khan. It may be pronounced Kubla, but I've always heard Kublai. He was the grandson of Genghis Khan and would one day...
Genghis Khan.
And the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of what's his name from The Wrath of Khan.
That would be Khan Noonien Singh. And no, because Khan there is a first name, not a last name.
Well, damn.
So, he was the grandson of Genghis Khan, no relation to Khan Noonien Singh from The Wrath of Khan.
Sorry.
Now we got to play royalties to Gene Roddenberry's estate.
We don't have to do any of that, okay? We don't have to
see what
do
you
anything.
Did. See what you did? Anyway, he was the grandson of Genghis Khan and would one day rule all of China, the first non-Han dynasty emperor to do so. After he conquered the greater part of China and established himself as the first Mongol emperor, he decided to set his sights on Japan as well as a few other places to conquer. It was at this time that his fleet, hastily built within a year, attempted to conquer Japan. The Mongol troops made a few successful skirmishes. In fact, on one island, they landed, a group of samurai encountered them, and the Mongol never broke formation. And they assaulted the samurai with what would essentially be early artillery. munitions. And so it drove the samurai back to a fortress. And then the samurai began to make incursions into the Mongols from the fortress. And they chased them pretty much back into the sea. However, as the ships fled, a typhoon from the Philippine Sea, which is also part of the Dragon Triangle, sank the entire fleet. A second force sent against Japan fared no better. They were also sunk by a typhoon from literally out of nowhere. This brought Emperor Khan to call the region the sea cursed, and the people of Japan believed from this that they were protected by a divine wind, what they called a kamikaze. And this divine wind would protect Japan for quite some time to come, at least from the Japanese point of view.
I see.
Now, if you were to have a globe in front of you, and you took that globe and you drew an imaginary line across its center, and I'm assuming it's the center of the way the globe is sitting as opposed to the actual center, which would be the equator, because it never said the equator passes through both. It's this imaginary line. So the globes are usually at a tilt, so I'm guessing the line would kind of run. Yeah. Anyway, point is that that line would pass not only through the Dragon Triangle, but the Bermuda Triangle as well.
Yes.
What do you think of that, Krista?
Bermuda Triangle. So why are they connected?
Because they're on opposite sides of the planet from each other.
That's weird. They're on the opposite sides of the world, but they connect.
Well, yeah. They're on the same latitude-ish, kind of. Now, in addition to being near Tokyo, it is also close to the island of Miyake and the island of Iwo Jima. This is the reason many think volcanic activity is part and parcel of the disappearances and the weird effects in this area. And when I say weird effects, just as many weird effects happen in the Devil's Triangle as happen in the Bermuda Triangle. Since we haven't really covered the Bermuda Triangle, what I'm talking about is essentially, we're talking about electromagnetic disturbances, we're talking about mysterious disappearances. All of that happens in this part of the world. It is also, in addition to being referred to as the Dragon's Triangle, it's often referred to as the Pacific Bermuda Triangle, but Scottish biologist Ivan T. Sanderson dubbed it, along with 11 other sites around the world, a vile vortex. Now, the reason these places contain significantly higher electromagnetic anomalies than anywhere else in the world. Sanderson's theory being that the electric magnetic disturbances were caused by the mixture of hot and cold waters in the area. So apparently, when you have waters coming from like a frozen or a cold area of the ocean,
right,
mixing with waters like warmed by the sun, like coming from the Pacific Ocean, that kind of mass mixing of cold and hot water,
right,
creates these electromagnetic anomalies. And apparently it would cause it, like, if you want to go and fill your bathtub up with cold water and then just turn on the hot water and let it go, it would also cause electromagnetic anomalies, but just smaller. Just smaller ones. So anyway, the point is that
Barrel's Room.
There are 12 sites around the world. The Bermuda Triangle that's close to the country here actually being another one that are one of these vile vortexes. Just because basically these parts of the world, because of the electromagnetic interference... And I have another theory about this, they cause planes, instruments to fail, they cause ships, instruments to fail, and that's why a lot of these fail. Now, my own theory is... If you look into UAP right now, or UFOs, as they used to be called, whatever you want to call them, there is a certain theory that says that most of them seem to be coming from the ocean. And I wonder if these vile vortices aren't necessarily where these things are stationed. And maybe something about that is also contributing to the... electromagnetic. And I'll be honest, the whole idea of hot and cold water causing these electromagnetic disturbances, I tried to read up on it. I tried to understand it. I really did. I just confused myself and hurt my brain.
It's probably along with some other things in the... like in the environment. Not just
one of those things that... You know, I don't consider myself a dumb person, but it's definitely made for people smarter than me kind of thing.
Right. I just... There was a time when I understood science, and I really got it. And then I reached a point where I was just done. I didn't feel like I could get past where I was intellectually with science, and I just sort of let it go. I wish there were things I understood better. But yeah, that's – so anyway, the long story short is Ivan Sanderson dubbed this as one of the vile vortexes. So a lot of shipwrecks and other anomalies tend to happen in these parts of the world. Now, the area was also famed for sightings of dragons, you can't watch us, but if you could, you would see me using my fingers to do quotes, dragons, though many point to the believed existence of an underwater volcano, which they think that because what would happen is these subsea volcanoes would go off, and they would actually... erupt, and you could see the eruption on top of the ocean. So you would just see these blooms of fire, and a lot of people thought that was dragons.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes as much sense as anything before science got to the point of where it is now.
Right. Now, these underwater volcanoes are also called subsea volcanoes. The belief is that this volcano generates seismic activity, which causes the rogue waves known in the area. And a rogue wave is the current lingo for essentially a tidal wave.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to ask.
Yeah, and Japan has a long history of dealing with these kind of waves. So that part of the world... And that is one of the names that the area where which contains part of the Dragon Triangle is known as the Devil's Sea, is because it regularly has these rogue waves. So it's like the devil is reaching out to get you if you're sailing through this.
Sure.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment for a word from our sponsors.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Honey.
Yes.
I feel sponsored.
That's good. Actually, while you're talking about sponsored, I want to take a moment it's to add a kind of a sponsor thing of our own. This past weekend, we recorded our one shot. And so I have roughly 3 hours of gaming that I am going to cut into either two or three episodes. I haven't decided which. I have to go over it first. I have to make sure that it makes sense. I don't know how well I caught everybody's voices and everything. I haven't even listened to the audio. But assuming it all comes out, we will have an early test version of the Family Role podcast. So
that I did the art for?
Yes, you did, because yes. You were awesome.
Yes.
Because the Krista is awesome. Everybody, and hail the Krista!
Yeah, no one's going to hail me, Dad, please.
Hail the Krista!
I'm not a queen.
Hail the Krista!
You're a princess.
You're my princess.
Oh, wait, are you the queen of boobs?
Yes.
Did she just boop me?
Yeah, she did.
To prove she was the queen of boops?
Yes, I believe she did.
Somehow that doesn't seem very fair.
Well, you know, if Her Majesty insists.
Okay. Now,
so where were we? We were talking about rogue waves.
Actually, we were focusing on Ivan T. Sanderson. Now,
No. We weren't focusing on Ivan T. Sanderson. We just got back to him.
Okay, we're getting back to him. Whatever. The point is, Ivan T. Sanderson is important to the next thing we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Because here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Sanderson and several other scientists believe that the mix of hot and cold water can cause electromagnetic disturbances. Mm-hmm. And this isn't right, but it's as close as I can understand to it. Basically, the idea of hot and cold, it's like hot and cold air hitting in the atmosphere, which will lead to kind of a tornado effect.
Right.
The same thing apparently happens in the water, leading to kind of a whirlpool effect.
Hmm.
Which isn't a great thing to be on if you have a wooden ship, because they don't move so well. Especially if, like, several of your oars are in the open air part of the whirlpool and not the water part.
Well, yeah.
Another possible culprit of causing ships to go missing is methane. Methane forms on the seafloor as methane hydrate crystals. When these crystals shatter, bubbles are released to the surface, and these bubbles can sink a ship without a trace. In fact, they kind of think that might be what happened to the Cotopaxi, that or a rogue wave. And the Cotopaxi was a ship that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. And just a couple years ago, they found it on the ocean floor. Yay. Anyway, when these crystals shatter, bubbles are released to the surface. The best way to, if you want to, like, test this out on your own, is to get just a glass of water, stick a straw in it, and blow bubbles. And it's the same kind of thing. And imagine something trying to float on that surface.
I see.
Not going to be real successful.
Right.
So, now, the area was deemed unsafe by the Japanese government in the 1950s due to the loss of several ships that travel through the area. The Japanese government refused to send any more ships into the area, fearing their loss. Some of the more interesting theories as to why these ships go missing inside the area include dragons, UAPs, and aliens, and even the lost city of Atlantis.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the ocean, you have to include the Atlanteans.
I know, I'm just saying, these are the woo-woo theories.
I mean, what would Aquaman say?
Well, he'd be upset that you're not including Atlantis, but
exactly.
But the point is that I'm pretty sure there is no Aquaman. Why? Because Trump was president for 4 years and Aquaman never showed up to punch him in the mouth. And he would have, because Trump's a supervillain.
This podcast, last I checked, this podcast is pretty much not political.
It's not, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk about some of these individual theories. One theory is that dragons have lived in that area forever, and they just like to wreck boats from time to time. As one would, if you were a dragon living in an ocean near Japan.
No, I'd hide myself from people forever because I don't want to die on accident if somebody finds me. I don't want to be the stupid one who gets caught by a f***ing human.
Krista, language!
Krista dropped the F-bomb on the podcast. Dad's gonna have to beep you out.
PG-13! It's fine!
No. The F-bomb is not...
You can't even use the F-bomb on TV!
You've said ass in multiple episodes!
Ass is different than the F-bomb. You cannot say the F-bomb.
Ugh!
Our children are growing.
Yes. And
it's very
and
soft.
Yeah. So... That's the dragon theory.
Uh-huh.
The UAP and alien theory I kind of addressed earlier, but I will try to address it again. That theory goes is either the UFOs have a base there or for some reason are watching it there, or it's a place that they land their ships. And so from time to time, they interact with ships that are trying to go through the area. And thus they will kidnap people off of those ships or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that one is the idea that these UFOs and aliens that are living in the area are responsible for these ships going missing somehow. And those people have seen close encounters of the third kind one too many times, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, you know.
Good movie. Liked it much. Steven Spielberg, more like that. Anyway. The Lost City of Atlantis, which is probably my favorite, just says that Atlantis is somewhere under either... Well, here's the thing. Atlantis is often accused as being the power source behind the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
It's often accused as being the power source behind the Devil's Triangle. And then some of these other vile vortexes also, people think, well, it's Atlantis. Well, how many Atlantises were there? Or how big was it? Because if it was a planet-sized city, then I can't see that.
Nope.
So those are the interesting theories. There were some interesting things, though. Like in 1803, many claimed to witness a lone woman piloting a box-shaped boat, a boat that many claim was shaped like a Japanese incense burner box, through the Dragon Sea. And she just vanished. No one has seen this figure or that boat since.
Gone.
Well, she probably sank.
See, now, the Japanese don't even think she was a real person. They think that she was...
A
deity, a spirit, something. So, yeah, I mean, the Japanese don't even have a real good... idea of who she might have been or what she might have been. So, Krista, do you want to sail a box-shaped boat through the Dragon's Triangle?
How about I become a dragon?
You can have an outfit. I think actually becoming a dragon might be a bit, I don't know, impossible.
No, I don't need a $2,000 costume of a dragon. I just want to be a dragon. It's not the same if you're in a costume, because then you're not all big and mighty.
And what makes you think all dragons are big and mighty?
I'd be a big and mighty dragon.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like eating people.
Who says dragons eat people?
Some dragons eat people if it's for defense. What's your issue, man? Don't mess with my dreams.
I'm not messing with your dreams. It's just,
I'm gonna be alive again, and then I'm gonna be a dragon.
It just reminds me of that commercial that they have on about...
Don't compare my dreams to commercials!
Well, I'm gonna, because this one might, like, have something in it. But it's like for Priceline or Travelocity or one of those travel sites. You see all these, like, weird fishmen in robes gathered around this table, and they're like, aha, now that we've engineered the economy so that everything's more expensive, we can go to these places and humans won't be there. And then all of a sudden, human comes from out of nowhere and jumps in the pool. And they're like, where did you come from? And they're like, well, I used Priceline or whatever it is to, you know, get the cheapest room. And it was here. And then one of the
Progressive.
I don't know. and then one of them goes, well, one of us has to eat it. And another one goes, yuck, you do it. And I imagine dragons would be much the same way. Well, we could eat them. You eat them. I'm not too sure how often they bathe. I don't want to eat them.
I don't know where it's been.
Mom said she didn't know where it's been. I think that's funny. So... But seriously, Krista, we could do the podcast from a box-shaped boat in the Dragon Triangle.
No, I'm not doing the podcast in a box-shaped boat. I'm gonna fall to the bottom of the sea. My fat butt would break that boat.
One, my fat butt would break it first. Two, you don't have a fat butt. I have a fat butt.
Okay. I think we're just an overweight family.
We might be. But you know what I say to that? Here we come, walking down the street.
What the heck?
Blah, blah, blah.
Ew, Dad!
What, Krista? What is it, Krista? What's the matter, my pumpkin baby girl? Huh? What?
No, Dad, you're gonna get copyrighted!
What?
You're gonna get copyright.
Who do you think is trying to copyright what I do?
People. People copyright whatever the frick they want to copyright if they want some money.
So, here we go. In the 1940s and 50s, several fishing vessels and five military vessels, and these are Japanese, simply vanished here. This led to the Japanese launching Kaiyu Maru, and that's Kaiyo Maru, not the Kobayashi Maru. This is not a Star Trek reference, but this is the Kaiyo Maru number 5.
You said Kaiyu.
Yeah, that was the name of the ship. Not the Kobayashi Maru, which is from Star Trek.
Okay.
It's the Kaiyo Maru, number 5, a scientific research vessel. And most of the 31 crew members aboard were scientists. Now, the Kaiyo Maru sank. And eventually, while they recovered the vessel, there wasn't a single body on board.
Freaky.
Little. The crew had vanished without a trace. So after that, the Japanese government declared the Dragon's Triangle off limit for any ships to travel through. Primarily because they thought they felt it was unsafe. It was declared an unsafe place to travel.
Sure.
Which is part of why there's really not any, not much that happens there today. Nothing Japanese passes through the site. And the few ships and planes that pass through the area report electrical problems. But beyond that, nothing super amazing has been reported there. But again, because...
Yeah, there's an electric dragon just chilling there, stealing all their Wi-Fi.
Well, the point is, Krista, is that Japan declared it off limits. Now, I would like to point out that the U.S. has never declared the Bermuda Triangle.
You mom! Where is that face? Oh!
So.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
Now, as we've talked about this, I have dropped quite a few scientific reasons of what might happen there. However, a significant portion of the internet seems to believe the area is quite mysterious and reject the scientific reasons suggested for the odd happenings in the triangle.
Well, yeah, because they're nowhere near as much fun as aliens and Atlantis.
And see, aliens, I haven't made up my mind about. First of all, I don't know if the ships we see in the sky are alien. So many of them dip into the water without a trace. And the ones that we have video of doing it don't react like earthly vehicles. Plus, you had the Lake Baikal aliens that we talked about. Mm-hmm. So... that one you might be able to sell me, but by and large, most of the others, I as much as I would like to be there to be a dragon, I tend to believe there's not one, certainly. And if there was, it wouldn't
be. I believe in dragons. I believe in that dragon specifically, too.
But if there was, I don't think it would be living 100 miles off the coast of Tokyo. It seems like a bad plan. Like, it's a good way to get spotted. You know, maybe the Marianas Trench or Challenger Deep or someplace like that that people aren't going every hour of every day.
Well, yeah, and in 2023, you would think by this time that that dragon would have had the opportunity to see Godzilla and know that that's not a good place to hang out anyway.
Right, because Japanese do not like giant reptiles
nope.
on or near their island.
Yep.
Right, Krista?
Yeah.
Gojira!
What was that?
Godzilla is his English name. The Japanese call him Gojira.
Okay.
Gojira! And since they're the ones who came up with him first, I like that better.
Okay.
So, any of your thoughts into what's going on in the Dragon's Triangle, Krista?
No, not really. The dragon is just a triangle that crosses over, I think. Like, I know there's a lot going on, but...
Well, but is there? I mean...
And see, that's what skeptics will tell you about these sites, is that disappearances don't happen in these sites any more than they happen anywhere else.
Anywhere else, it would just be random happenings, but because of the history?
No. What skeptics say is that this wouldn't be happening. It doesn't happen anywhere else any more than it happens here. Disappearances happen all throughout the ocean. That's what they say.
Okay.
So, they say that these sites are unremarkable. It's just... things get cataloged there more, or that the to the public perception there and things happen there more. But they say if you look, things go missing all over the ocean all the time.
Well, yeah, I think the ocean in general, though, is very unknown still. I heard someone talking about it couple of weeks back and saying that, you know, the ocean is still vastly...
like unexplored.
Unexplored.
Right. Heck, even this past weekend, Adam and Matt of Graveyard Tales made that quote of... that I've heard so many other places, that so much more happens, or we know so much more about the galaxy than we do what's in the ocean.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I suppose that's, it's possible. I'm just saying that the skeptics will tell you nothing is happening more here than any other site. It just... non-sea historians or people who don't know just sort of focus on these sites because there is this reputation out there for these sites to be so weird. And if you want my honest opinion, like I said, we haven't covered the Dragon Triangle or the Bermuda Triangle, but this is really just... like, the Bermuda Triangle has so many more occurrences, including one that's hard for me to shake, because it's a guy and his dad that was flying a business partner from the Bermuda Islands to Miami. And as they were going across the water, the weather got bad. It got really dark. He was able to pull himself up. He found himself almost in, like, some sort of, he almost described it as a tunnel. And when they got to Miami, they got there a half hour earlier than they should have, than like ever should have. Like, it affected the time they traveled. Which,
so what, like a time travel type thing?
Almost.
Yeah. Almost, or like somehow you're...
like a wrinkle in time?
Yeah, or, you know. But yeah, so, and I didn't even read anything like that about the Dragon Triangle. So I'm just, I'm overall a little less impressed, but by the same token, the Japanese government went, yeah, we're not sending anybody else here. And they recovered the Kaiyu Maru 5, the wreck of it. So, you know, they sent people somehow to get it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But there's not a single body on board.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, they put the area off limits. Don't travel there. So it tells me something's going on.
But maybe not a dragon.
I don't think it's a dragon. I just think that's the name of the triangle.
I think the dragon might be hiding there, but like underground or something.
Yeah, but I doubt it's taking out ships that pass by.
Yeah.
And like I said, it is near Iwo Jima. It is one, Iwo Jima is one of the three larger land masses in the triangle. And Iwo Jima is almost on top of an underwater volcano.
Right.
So, you know, I mean... And an underwater volcano, even one that's going off to the point where, like, it's just oozing lava instead of shooting lava, you wouldn't see it necessarily on the surface, but it could cause some pretty weird effects. I mean, it certainly would cause some seismic effects, and that could produce rogue waves and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So your final thoughts, Krista?
My final thoughts are basically, I do believe that there may be a dragon, like, underneath the, like, the surface, but, like, I don't think that, I do believe in dragons, and I do believe in, like, you know, spiritual stuff. I don't know what else to say, honestly. I believe in dragons, but I don't believe that it's the one causing all the issue here.
Well, I believe in a thing called love, but I don't think it has anything to do with the Dragon's Triangle.
I don't think it does either.
What about you, babe?
I think that it sounds like... even if there is something strange about this area, that the local government is trying to protect its people. And so they're trying to keep things out of it. So who knows? It could even be something that the government was working on there.
And that wouldn't surprise me necessarily. I guess I'm just a bit skeptical about this, just because there's not a lot behind it other than these wrecks in the Japanese ocean, but or in the seas and oceans around Japan. But Japan has always been a hard sail. Like, it's not easy to land there. Never has been. Mm-mm. Not until these days when we're a little more savvy about traveling the waters. But still, all in all, I don't know if there's anything to it, but I do think I do very much like that the Japanese government went, you know what, we're going to investigate. You know what, our investigators got literally eaten by the sea. Guess what, nobody else goes there. So, yeah, you know, I like the idea that they sort of went, yes, protect our people.
Yeah.
So
I do like that as well.
Well, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for reviewing and rating us as well. Thanks for keeping us in the good pot and top 100 the last 3 weeks in a row.
Yes, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And just make sure you send us emails to tell Krista how much you love her. She really could use the help. Thanks to Bill Barrett for our theme music. Bill is a musical genius. If you need his help for a project, just simply send him an email at Bill Barrett, and that last name is spelled B-E-H-R-E-N-D-T at sbcglobal.net. For our theme music, thank you, Bill. Thanks to Paige Elmore of Reverie True Crime, as well as Krista, for our logo art. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you, Paige. And Krista.
Thanks to Aaron Gunnerk of the Big Dumb Fun Show for promoting us locally. Thanks, Aaron. Join us next week as we look into some local cryptids called Momo and the Ozark Howler.
Bye! Bye.